5 ottobre 2007, Seven Hills, presso Cleveland, intervista a Bruno Moreal, nato a Timmins, Ontario, il 15 di febbraio del 1936. Di professione terrazziere, e adesso racconta la sua storia di vita.
In English. I left my native actually I shouldn't say my native country, but what I was raised back in 1952. I was 16 years old, and I came here and being that I was born in Canada on a Canadian visa, therefore made me eligible to come here without really going through the quota system that we had in those days. I came here and lived with an aunt and uncle that lived in Cleveland, and they signed for me as guardians. Since I was 16 years of age, I had to have someone sign for me. Of course, the reason I came here was for economic reasons, of course, for a better life and to make a living where I wasn't able to do so in Italy as a young man. Subsequently to that, I of course, the minute I got here, I had to get a job, and the problem I had was I was underage. So being underage, I had to get a permit from the Board of Education, and with the promise that I would go to school and attend classes to learn the English language. So I did so, and I found a job with the friends of my relatives until I started in the spring of 52. By the end of the year, being in the construction business, got cold and there was no more work, so I had to get another job. And of course, with someone that could speak my language, because at the time I still hadn't learned English. So my uncle made a phone call to the O.A. Bertin Company, the Terrazzo contractors, and I got a job with them. And I've been working with the O.A. Bertin Company since then. First as a worker, and then as a partner in a business with, at first, the company was owned by two brothers and a cousin, and that cousin happened to be my future father-in-law. Subsequently to that, my father-in-law retired, and I bought in the business. Basically, what he left out, I bought in. And a few years later, the two other partners I had retired, and I became the full ownership of the O.A. Bertin Company sometimes in the late 70s, sole owner. And of course, I've been working in my trade now for the last, and I'm still involved with the business, even though I have two sons, Mark and Michael, that are running the business. And I'm there, of course, to help moral support and everything else that goes with the business. They came on board, Mark, right after high school. So they've been at it for the last 25 years, and Michael for the last almost 20. So it's nice to have them on board, because I'll be honest with you, at this point in my life, I probably would have closed the doors, since that I really don't need to have business any longer. But I'm happy that they came along, because at this point, there's very few people that are interested in this type of business any longer, because it is hard work, physically hard work. And but they chose to stick with it, and I'm happy for that. So now I still go in every day. I go in 7 days a week. I don't have to stay there all day. Sometimes if I choose to leave, I will. I do. But I'm really attached to my business. I love my job. And actually, I love what I do now more than I ever did, because now I have some time of my own that I can just, you know, do what I want to do as I please. And that's basically the story of my life as far as immigrating in this country and of course this came simply by accident. I didn't know Terrazzo from popcorn when I came in this country. I just so happened they happened to be speaking my lingo, and I just joined forces with them, and I stuck with it all through the years. Mm-hmm. Now it's something like over 50 years.
And what about the customers of the job?
Well, the customers, at first I wasn't involved with customers because my job was to get the work done, the physical work part of it. So it just so happens that you asked the question is that one of the elder partners decided to retire back in 1972. Well, at first we had one of his sons working along with us that he was kind of a training to take his place, because the man that the elder partner was also the man that contacted the customers, got the jobs, mm-hmm. and then all that.
People told me that Catholic Church were good customers.
Well, in those days, our mainstay was Catholic churches and schools. Mm. Being, you know, in the early 60s, late 70s, there was a great need for schools and churches. Catholic churches decided to build new buildings, and we extensively used a lot of Terrazzo in the churches. As a matter of fact, we have some trades, recognition for doing excellent work in these churches. And, of course, a lot of schools in Ohio. When that kind of ran out, then we got involved with more commercial buildings such as hospitals. As a matter of fact, lately, the Cleveland Clinic, which is probably world-renowned, we do most of the work for them. We do a lot of work for them. Economically now, our trade is kind of a down somewhat, but the Cleveland Clinic keeps us going because they do extensive mm-hmm. construction work.
And the architects are interested in Terrazzo?
The architects are interested to a point, but we have to compete with a lot of other products. Now in the market there's granite tiles. There's a multitude of products that can take the place of Terrazzo. Terrazzo is a seamless type flooring, but that lasts a lifetime. But now the economy now says, or it tends to be that way, that they say, well, we don't want something to last a lifetime. We only want something to last 20 years, and then we want to change. Because now, change is the way to go. People don't want to be stuck with something for 100 years like they used to. So we have a little problem with that, trying to push our product, because of we can't use the selling point of longevity anymore, because longevity is not really that important. The important thing is that that fits in with the modern technology and modern ideas that the architects have, you know, nowadays. And we have to, not only we have to serve the architect, but we have to serve the owner, the designer. There's more people involved. It's not just like we used to. Just the owner would say, "I want Terrazzo, come and do it." That would be the end of it. Now they put out a job for bids, and they say, "Well, we have an alternate. We either want Terrazzo, we want ceramic tile, we want granite tile, whichever looks better or whatever fits our scheme." And that's the problem we're confronted with.
Oh, can can we go back to the early time? Instruments of work. Who teach you?
Well, when I first started to work, of course, not having done the trade in my youth, I just started to work, and I would help the craftsmen that would be doing this work.
Friulanian?
At that time, I would say that 90% were Friulanian. Mm. Namely, my father-in-law, Kile, was one of the mechanics. We call them, the craftsmen in the trade are called mechanics. They are called terrazzo mechanics. So he was one of the best in the area at the time.
Because he was from Sequans.
Not only because he was from Sequans, but he learned the trade in Belgium, in France, and some in Switzerland. I'm not sure. He was in Lyon for a while. He was in Brussels, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I came on board with the Oeber Team Company, they elected me to help him as a helper. So being a helper of someone that knew the trade well, excuse me, I was able to learn the trade. I would say to people that I stole the trade from him. And I started using the tools. The next thing you know, within a couple of years, I became on my own to be a mechanic. And I was given work to be done. They would just send me out and do a job, and I would do it, with help of others, of course. And that's how I learned my trade, through mechanics before my time.
Did you ever heard about galera?
Yeah, the galera was an instrument or a tool that they used way back in the turn of the century. It was nothing with a long stick and a stone attached to it, and they would grind the terrazzo flooring, and in most cases the following day after it was poured, so it would be so hard to do. But I have to add another thing to that. In most cases, they think the people in those days used the galera to grind what we call cement terrazzo. In those days they did cement, they did terrazzo with a lime mixture instead of using cement, because if it would have been cement, it would have been a lot harder to grind. But being with a lime matrix, it wouldn't be so hard. So that's how they were able to do this. But in my days, of course, we had all machines. We were mechanized. We had electric machines that I never did use the galera, which I'm well aware of what it is. As a matter of fact, we have one in our warehouse as a relic from the old days. And so the trade came a long way since I started it, simply because of the mechanization that we had. We have some heavy equipment that we can grind. But nevertheless, the trade is physically hard to do. But not as hard as it used to be, let me put it that way. Since my days in the trade, we got a lot, we modernized to a point where our mixing of the matrix used to be by hand, with a shovel and a rake and a hole. Now we use mixers, we use power equipment to transport materials in and out. We use tow motors, which we never had in those days. Everything that came on the job, we had to load by hand. Cement bags, the marble chips, and so on. So I have to say, in as much as the trade became easier, it's still a physical type trade.
Not terrazzo. What about the tales of Mr. Achille and the cousins?
Well, Achille, that's the man that we mentioned before, that at that time, of course, he was just an employer to me, but subsequently became my future father-in-law. Achille was born in Sequals from apparent that the father, I guess he was also a terrazzo man, because people from Sequoia are notorious for being terrazzo men. He served in the First World War, and he had two brothers and a sister. His brothers came to America in Milwaukee and started to work in the terrazzo business. Achille was left behind because he was in the military. So, and his father and mother joined the two brothers in Milwaukee. And when Achille came out of the military, he joined them in Milwaukee as well. Excuse me. And then his mother and father returned back to Italy. He worked in Milwaukee for a couple of years. And then his two brothers elected to go to Texas to start their own business. But he didn't want to go with them for whatever reason. Instead, he came to Cleveland, where he had a uncle and a cousin. They started in business back in 1926 or 27. So he came here and he settled here. He married and he stayed on with his uncle and cousin until before the war. And then they kind of closed down during the Second World War. After the Second World War, the uncle retired and the other first cousin joined them, so the three of them carry on the business for the next 10-15 years. Mm-hmm. Until my father-in-law retired in 1960. And so that's the story about my
family. And what about the story of your own family? We have some pictures here.
Okay.
Your father,
well, my
was from another little village.
My father was from San Quirino, a little village in northern Italy, near Pordenone. Was born there, of course. He had a couple of brothers, and a couple of sisters. My father first ventured out in Canada with his older brother, Antonio. He was 17 years old when he left Italy. He got to Timmins, Ontario, sometime in 1922 or 3. He worked in the gold mines for what I can figure maybe for 15 years total. In the meantime, he worked there, went back to Italy in the 30s, got married to my mother, Rita, and had a child. He went back to Canada, and soon after, my mother and sister joined him in Timmins, Ontario.
Sister Wilma.
And they joined him in Timmins, where I was born, in Timmins. In the meantime, they found him that he caught silicosis working in the mines, so they discharged him from the mines. And he decided that he should go back to Italy since he had a few parcels of land and a house. So he picked up his family, went back to Italy, and we worked the farm that we had, a few pieces of farmland. And,
what do you remember of the life of your family, of the house?
What I remember about my family is we were not well-to-do people to start with. Whatever savings my father had when he went back, they soon vanished, because he started raising a family, and of course, we ended up being seven of us, mm-hmm. and not have any income besides the farm. We kind of struggled through the years.
And you, as a young boy. You worked.
Me as a young boy, I worked the farm along with my father.
With cows?
We had a couple cows, we had fields. And so my work actually as a boy, the older boy in the family, was never done. I would go to school in the morning and come home and go work on the farm, come back home, do my chores at home, like milking the cows, and do whatever else I had to do. And then, of course, the following morning in the summer months, I would go to working the farm before they went to school. Get up 4 in the morning, come home at 7:30, clean up and go to school. Come home at 1:30, 2 o'clock, my father would be waiting for me to go back and work again. So my youth was, that I can recall, it was never being a boy. I was always a man. I never recall ever being a kid.
No entertainment?
No entertainment. As a matter of fact, I tell my kids and my grandkids that I, as a boy, I never worked. I mean, I never played with toys. Because I never had one to start with, and I had no time to play with toys. I was always looked upon as the man of the house because my father was sickly throughout the time during the war and after the war until he died. Excuse me. Since he was sickly, I was called upon to do the many chores that has to be done in the farm. Mm-hmm. So I was never a kid.
Yeah. And on Sundays?
Sundays, did
you go to church?
Sundays I went to church as a young boy. I was an altar boy for a while. I sang in the choir because it was my love of life to sing. It still is, by the way. But I never made nothing out of it. But still on Sunday, you know, things don't stop. Animals still want to eat, and you still have to milk them. Yeah. So there's no rest for a farmer. I have to say that as a young boy, I never really had much, sport activities. I played some sports, but...
Did you ride bicycle?
In Italy, to be honest with you, I didn't have a bicycle until I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
That's when I first got my job in a little town called Domanings, which is about 15 miles from my town. And I would be working in Domanings and ride that bike every day to work, crossing the, what we call the Cellina. We have the Cellina, where it's a watershed. And every morning we have to pull off our socks to walk across the water to get on the other side. And I did that for one summer. And when I was 14, between 14 and 15. So that took care of that, along with the other chores at home. Hmm. I did that. Then from there, I got a job with someone in town that had a tractor that worked the farms.
You told me he was the major.
He was the mayor of this of little town. Mm-hmm. And he was also what we call an entrepreneur type person. You know, he had a lot of things going for him. He was he had the mill in town that milled the corn and the wheat. So he was a well-to-do person in town. Mm-hmm. And I worked for him for a couple of years as a young boy to drive this tractor, because that was my passion too, to drive a tractor. It was one of the first in town that we ever had. And we would work for customers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would sometimes I work day and night, just because I love to do the job.